You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source, which, of course, is us right here in Berea. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere on a football Monday. Getting this week kicked off for you in style. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, 3 days to the draft. And let's talk right now with Ben in Jacksonville. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show.
Thank you.
And for just real quick, I wanted to mention, appreciate you guys talking about the celebrations a couple weeks ago in the NFL. No one seems to ever want to talk about that, but it's a little ridiculous and overdone how frequent they are. Outside of that, what do you guys think about, I guess, give me your take on why or why not? I think it could potentially be a good idea of, what do you guys think about possibly trading up into the first round and getting 3 first-round picks?
I think it's possible. I think it just depends on what happens. And I think you might see a trade down that gets you something and then a trade up that would be cheaper, so still net-net you do better. I think that's possible. There is some talk in the Monday Morning Quarterback written by Peter King about the Browns moving up into the end of the first round to give a third first-rounder. So I definitely think it's possible. They're not going to have 10. I don't think they're drafting 10 players. I don't think that's happening. You're not bringing 10 guys to camp. So
I agree with
you. You want to consolidate. Right now you have 7 in the first 4 rounds. If you trade it down, you could potentially have 8 in the first 4 rounds, have an ability to trade for more picks for the following season or consolidate to move up and make bigger splashes.
And you don't draft into the first round for the sake of drafting into the first round to say, okay, now we've got 3 first-round picks. I think you do it with a very specific target in mind. The scenario that you said Monday Morning Quarterback presented was to maybe do that for a quarterback at the very end of the round and anticipate the falling of all of these guys. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I'm more inclined to think that, number one, you don't maneuver like that to get your QB. I think you get your QB when you know you've got the guy that you want at a designated spot. There should be no guesswork behind that. That shouldn't be a roll of the dice to see where we're going to get this guy. When you make maneuvers in the draft, it's done very specifically. You're trusting your research, your homework. There's really no surprise there. I mean, you don't find out the guy we really wanted before the trade, you know, was that guy and somebody else took him. That's not how those are supposed to go down. If it's going down like that, then that's a fail.
That's a big fail. That's not how you want it to go down. You only move down when you feel like you can get a little sugar and get the player that you want, or of a guy that you, if you have 30 guys clustered together,
cluster,
you know you're
going
to get one of those three. Yeah, that's really the only way that you can move down in that case, as I see it.
And, you know, again, we've seen situations before. I mean, this will be an interesting room to see how the management of this draft goes down, and we'll have more time to talk about this, but different than what we saw last year. I think a more defined board with which they're working than we saw before, things like this. So, you know, I really believe that that's something to witness and watch, how this draft comes down from the standpoint of just draft management organization with having, Ray Farmer, but having Mike Pettine in the room and the two of them collaborating. And at what point does it come down to Ray Farmer saying, okay, this is my call, versus Mike Pettine saying, this is all the information we have? I know this much. The assistant coaching staff, you know, they've only been specifically called upon, like we saw with Kyle Shanahan, to look at quarterbacks, right? And he said he's studied more quarterbacks this year than he ever has coaching in the league. But you don't see some staffs are just all immersed at looking at every player at their position. And yes, the Browns are doing the same thing that other teams are doing. But as far as being heavily involved in the draft process, this has been pretty streamlined, Nathan, as you know. I think one of the big reasons why there's been more guesswork about the Browns, or it's guesswork about all of them.
They don't know.
There's a lot of guesswork elsewhere because they've kept the line of information very tight here.
Very tight. Nobody knows what's going on. And really what's going to happen is it's going to come down to what they believe at number 4. If there's conviction about a quarterback, you could see one. If there isn't conviction about a quarterback, we're going to see that marriage. Does the defensive coach, Mike Pettine, does he have more of a feel for a playmaker like a Sammy Watkins, or would he rather say, listen, we know how tough it is when we have to blitz and get exotic on defense, was when you have such a stout offensive line and go offensive line at 4. These are the questions for the Browns, and really it's going to come back to, will you have a quarterback that can lead this team. And if they believe in Brian Hoyer, we're going to know that based on how they pick early in this draft. If they feel that that is an absolute need, then maybe you say, listen, when you're sitting at four, every quarterback we want is on the board for us. We go ahead and we take a shot at it.
So going to Twitter from Matthew, he's at BrownsFan00 is his handle. He says, I was wondering if the Browns use the draft just for their defense and use free agency and undrafted free agents for offense. Well, in this particular circumstance this year, it's been a defensive-driven free agency. I don't think the draft – I mean, it's conceivable that you'll see more offensive picks in this draft because they've added two big defensive pieces via free agency, right? So I think there's another part of conventional wisdom that you bring in Dansby, you bring in Whitner, therefore the draft should be left to dealing with those offensive positions. And I think there's a lot of validity to that. Corner's the interesting thing because I don't know, Nathan, if beyond – a couple of guys in that first round, if corner is going to be the position you hit later in the first or into the second. And by the way, is running back still on the table at a point? I mean, in your mind, I think you've been consistent saying that's a third or a fourth round option, maybe
Absolutely.
Even a fourth round option in this
For
draft.
Sure.
Okay. Because maybe if Carlos Hyde is the best guy, you know, is he the guy that this team gets? And obviously, there's some questions about the guy beyond football that I think, you know, could be troubling to this team and others.
I just think there's so many running backs that you can get in the third and fourth round. You've brought in Ben Tate. Ben Tate's going to be your guy. You need a complimentary piece and somebody to be that succession plan for Ben Tate in a couple of years. And I think there are many, many, many people that you could get to fill that bill in this draft, whereas I think they need a wide receiver. To me, ideally, the first three picks would involve a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a cornerback. Not necessarily in that order. If I was going to do my specific order, it would be quarterback, cornerback, wide receiver. You get those three positions, we're going to go a long way, because in the third round you can get your guard, you can get an inside linebacker, fourth round you can get a running back, and really have done a good job addressing the needs, also doing it in a way where the value is there. At the beginning of the second round, you're going to get a great wide receiver who typically would have been one of the first three wide receivers taken in any draft.
At DMost 8, he says, the Browns want to run the ball down teams' throats. Robinson would be perfect. Interesting thought. I mean, I do think they're a run-first offense, for sure. I think that's what Kyle Shanahan is clearly going to be all about. And, you know, you could say, well, they're just going to run it down teams' throats. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think the ratio of runs versus passes will consistently be greater to the run side, or at least more balanced than it was by far last year, which probably isn't saying a lot. But if there's questions,
the least balanced in the league, yeah, I think that's fair.
So it's, yeah, it didn't take much to come from there. But if the rap on Robinson is that he's not polished enough to be ready to be a good pass pro guy as a rookie, or at least a top, you know, whatever, a starting level pass pro guy, and we don't know that, but that's the common refrain about him, right, from scouting reports. But you put him out there as a road grader in your and let's understand what road grader is. This is not the straight ahead thing. It's really creating seams and still having athleticism. You still got to knock some people down. You still have to have defenders, have the ability to muscle up against defenders. And Robinson, by all accounts, can do that.
You're probably, though, drafting him because of that pass pro concern to be a guard. So if you take Robinson, at least initially, at least in his rookie season, I would imagine he's going to play some guard.
I would think so.
Do you take a guard at four overall?
This guy might be the exception to the rule just because he passes so many other tests for you as an athlete, as a talent, as someone that universally a lot of scouts seem to like. And
sure.
This is not media reflection. This is what I'm hearing internally in the NFL. I mean, I just think he's got a soundness about him that I think people like in that upper tier area. And again, the same Jake Matthews falls into a very, very similar category.
And let me just answer one last tweet quickly, because then we're running out of time, but just kind of about the quarterback situation. And WFNY Kirk was saying, you know, if the class is overrated, you don't go for the quarterback. Why do you don't understand the logic that if you feel that there's a quarterback, you go for him at four, you don't jump up, you don't go ahead and overdraft a quarterback. And then his last point was, I'm guessing Seattle, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and Green Bay weren't taking their quarterback now at four. My point is, I think if you were to ask San Francisco, Seattle, Pittsburgh, or Green Bay, they would take them number one overall.
Absolutely.
You can have Colin Kaepernick at number one overall, you'd take
him. You would
him.
Take him. If you know, it's all Rodgers. About when what you the guy is and what you know. Yeah, you can't project until you see what he is, but that's what this is. It's a projection. It's a feeling that if he could be my starting quarterback and I can get him here, and I might not get him later, you get him now. That's our conclusion.
And if you're right about a quarterback, you could never overdraft him. If you're wrong about him, you never could have gotten a good enough value.
Yeah, very simply put, you're right. All right, we want to thank Gerard Cherry for being part of the show. We want to thank Dan Shanka from Our Lad Scouting Service for also joining us. Want to thank our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs. Want to tell you that Huli and Gerard follows this show, and we are just getting this week started, folks. 3 days to the draft. For Nathan Zagura, I'm Vic Carucci. Talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. Left that out.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.